From South Dakota Public Broadcasting, this is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Josh Chilson in Sioux Falls. It's Wednesday, May 6th. This week, the governor announced a change in standards for state math students. Educators say there could be some issues with the plan. CJ Keene reports.
While Governor Larry Roden says, away from Common Core and towards common sense, teachers and their advocates say the process might not be so simple. Roden writes that because of this change, quote, parents will be better able to actually help their students with their homework. Meanwhile, people like Douglas School District Secondary Education Executive Director Courtney Crosswaite says it will take a process to get teachers themselves in the loop.
A curriculum adoption process is usually anywhere between a year to 2 years, depending on what's the reason for the adoption, right? Is it standards chasing or is it just a normal revision, review?
That potentially multi-year process presents challenges on the ground level with students and teachers in classrooms. Despite the change, State Education Association lobbyist Sandra Waltman says South Dakota's teachers are ready to execute the new policy.
When the new standards come out, they roll up their sleeves, they dig into the standards, and then they start preparing their curriculum to deliver those standards.
At the same time, though, Waltman says educators need to be more involved in these kinds of changes before they suddenly become policy.
A major concern we have is the narrowing of educator involvement in the standards development process. When we look to fewer classroom teachers to be involved, you miss important grade level and content connections. When you're not involving more teachers, you might miss things, and then you start see some of those alignment issues that some are raising concerns about.
The new standards were officially adopted this week on a unanimous vote from the State Board of Education Standards. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Rapid City.
The South Dakota Department of Education says it will begin implementing the new standards along with continued training for teachers on the science of reading. That training is paid for by a $3.7 million federal grant. A Pennington County jury finds a man charged in a deadly shooting guilty of second-degree murder. Prosecutors say 23-year-old Luke Birch shot and killed McGarland Walker at a Rapid City apartment in March of 2024. The two got into a dispute over the phone. Police say Birch then went to the apartment Walker was staying at wearing a ski mask and shot him multiple times. The Pennington County State's Attorney says Birch previously described Walker as, quote, his best friend. Second-degree murder comes with a mandatory life sentence in South Dakota. A sentencing hearing has not been set. A federal court sentences a South Dakota man to 21 years in prison for his role in a drug ring accused of smuggling around 200 pounds of meth into the state. Matthew Shade of T pleaded guilty to drug charges earlier this year. That's according to the U.S. Attorney's Office, District of South Dakota. Prosecutors say Shade was a local leader of a drug trafficking organization that took meth and fentanyl from Arizona and brought it to the Sioux Falls area. They shipped the drugs through the mail via cross-country car trips. Assets in South Dakota trusts surpassed the $900 billion mark. Jackson Dirks reports.
A trust is a legal arrangement. A person puts assets, often money, into a trust for a beneficiary. The assets are managed by a trustee, who follows written instructions from the person who's granting the money. South Dakota's one of the top trust jurisdictions in the world. The state's continuing to build on a trend that's seen assets inside of state trusts increase by about $100 billion annually since 2018. At the end of 2025, the assets in South Dakota trusts were valued at around $906 billion. That's the highest dollar amount in state history and a $91 billion increase from 2024. That's according to numbers from the State Division of Banking. However, that increase comes despite a large custodian leaving and taking its assets elsewhere, says Division of Banking Director Brett Ofdahl.
We actually had a pretty sizable crypto custodian leave the state system and went to the OCC, so took a pretty good chunk of assets out, and they still went up by 11%.
That custodian was BitGo. The trust company converted to an uninsured national trust bank. There are no longer any crypto custodians in South Dakota, though there is crypto in state trusts. The number of trust companies chartered in South Dakota saw a dip for the second straight year.
Also had a couple that really frankly weren't doing a whole lot, whether their business model didn't work or they didn't have the right people. We've had three or four self-directed IRA custodians merge out over the last couple of years. And then we've actually had a couple of private companies leave over the last couple of years.
Since 1994, a governor-appointed task force meets annually to update and change a state's trust laws. This year, lawmakers passed the recommended changes. The 9-page bill, among other things, clarified attorney-client privileges between a trustee and their attorney, not a beneficiary. That's an issue Ofdahl said has come up quite a few times. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks.
Attorney General Marty Jackley is asking South Dakotans to remember law enforcement officers who have died in the line of duty. Today was the annual Law Enforcement Memorial Ceremony in Pierre. The names of more than 70 officers who died in the line of duty throughout the state's history were read at the ceremony. Jackley says the ceremony is a reminder of the sacrifices these officers made. National Correctional Officers Week is being observed this week. National Law Enforcement Week is next week. South Dakota State University has over 770 international students representing 76 countries, and they face a different set of challenges than their domestic peers. An editorial note, this story was produced by SDSU students for an investigative journalism class. They worked with SDPB staff to develop the story. SDSU student Phoenix Foster reports.
When Adrian Calderon Villegas was 13 years old, he knew he wanted to leave Spain and study in the United States. His senior year of high school, he came to South Dakota. He lived in Wentworth with Jim Ronning and got involved at Chester High School in as many activities as he could. The learning curve was high.
I had never even watched a football game.
And yet, he joined the team. Calderon Villegas is now a senior data science major at SDSU. He is one of the international students on campus.
International enrollment is a bit like a roller coaster, and we definitely have peaks and valleys in it.
Kristen Linke is the Director of International Student and Scholar Engagement at SDSU. She works with student admissions to help international students prepare for visa interviews, register for classes, and familiarize themselves with the campus.
We have just over 770 international students who are represented by 76 countries. Our top numbers come from Nepal, India, Bangladesh, and then we have a large number of students from areas like Ghana and Nigeria. We are having a growing number of students from Papua New Guinea, ones and twos from countries like Turkmenistan. So we've got four students on campus from Hungary.
Calderon Villegas says he appreciates Brookings as the place to study and live.
I contacted the Department of American Global Studies pretty early on and, you know, got to meet them. I get to speak my own language with them and all those things. And they have helped me out probably the most out of anybody. You know, they gave me a job here. They helped me get my driver's license, all those things. And then the other students here, mostly the international students, they're all very open to welcoming new people into their groups. Hanging out, all of those things.
The School of American and Global Studies helps students learn more about America and other countries with degrees in American, Indian, and Indigenous Studies, Political Science, and Spanish, though it's not just students that benefit from the school. Jose Alvarez is an associate professor of Spanish and a lead for the Spanish program at AGS, who has also lived in the United States for 21 years since coming from Peru. Alvarez came to the U.S. in 2005 on a student visa to get his master's and then a Ph.D. After graduating from Pennsylvania State University, he began looking for work and chose SDSU for what he calls its bright seasons and nice faculty. Alvarez says things started out rough when he first moved to Brookings, but got better as time went on.
Classes started, and I started meeting more people, meeting my colleagues, developing relationships and stuff like that, so it was pretty good.
While Brookings and SDSU have been a great place for international students and faculty, there has been a drop of 50 international students compared to last year. The perception of the U.S. as being less safe than it used to be is one possible reason for the decrease in students. Changes to the visa system could be another.
I think the government is asking people, if you want to hire somebody who's an H-1B holder, you have to pay, the company has to pay about $100,000.
H-1B visas are meant for foreign employees to fulfill specialty jobs that cannot be done by an American worker. An employer must prove that the job can only be done by the foreign employee when they make a petition for the 85,000 visas available. The previous cost for filing an H-1B visa petition ranged from $2,000 to $8,000, depending on the size of the company. Now, after President Donald Trump's proclamation on September 19th, any new petition filed after September 21st must pay an additional $100,000 to have a chance to be selected. While most students won't be paying the additional petition fee, the change in the lottery system that decides whose petition is approved is skewed against them. The lottery for H-1B visas is currently set to favor petitions for high-wage and high-skilled jobs, so entry-level jobs, the ones students usually aim for, are less likely to be approved.
What I'm more worried about is a possible transition to a career here, because most of the businesses aren't hiring anybody, and much less international students because they have to deal with all this visa paperwork, all of those things.
Despite these concerns, SDSU still stands as a welcoming place for international students to attend.
It's hard, but it's worth it.
For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Phoenix Foster.
That's your daily news update. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at SDPB News. And stay up to date on the latest headlines at sdpb.org/news. Thank you for following listener-supported SDPB.